Welcome to the Discover Strength Podcast. I'm Luke Carlson. I'm the CEO of Discover Strength, and I'm an exercise physiologist. On this episode, we're going to talk about the difference between demonstrating our strength and developing our strength and physiology, and how this involves letting go of an old and popular mindset. I think the toughest transition for me, and I know many of our clients have experienced this as well, that strength training to me, when I was in high school, when I really got interested in strength training, was so focused around performance. And the terminology I'm going to use is demonstrating our strength. The average athlete who engages in strength training when you're in high school, and this was true in the mid-1990s, this was absolutely true in the 1970s, it's true today in 2024, the strength training for high school athletes was largely focused around the performance of a few popular exercises. These exercises were the bench press, the squat, the deadlift, and then maybe the power clean or a hang clean or a derivative of the clean. Now, just to understand the history behind this, well, where does this come from? How come every athlete is using these exercises? It's actually because these exercises are specific sports, or they're a part of a specific sport. For eons, we had two different sports in the world of weightlifting. One sport was called powerlifting. It involves a bench press, a squat, and a deadlift. And the second sport was Olympic weightlifting. And Olympic weightlifting is exactly what it sounds like. It's the weightlifting they do in the Olympics, but it's totally different exercises. It's derivatives of a power clean or a snatch. We've also called these the quick lifts. So it generally involves the weight, a barbell being on the floor, and you lift it as quick as you can in various forms. Well, those sports have existed for a long, long time. In the late 60s and early 70s, sport coaches, and it really started with football coaches, but other sports jumped on this really quickly, said, wow, I kind of notice that all these power lifters and all these Olympic lifters are pretty darn strong and often explosive and powerful. Maybe we should ask them, what are they doing to get so strong and explosive and powerful and so forth? So sport coaches asked that question, and these athletes, of course, answered. And what do you think their answer was? Their answer, of course, was the only exercises that they had any familiarity with. That was the bench press, the squat, and the deadlift, if you were a power lifter. And for the Olympic weightlifters, of course, it was snatches and cleans and their derivatives. So sport coaches, football coaches, and I should also mention track and field was pretty popular at the time also, gravitating toward these exercises. The sport coaches had their athletes integrate these strength training exercises, and lo and behold, the athletes got stronger and more powerful. And so now these sport coaches said, we're looking to actually hire strength and conditioning coaches. This is like University of Nebraska in the early 70s. Strength training is in its infancy when we think about other sciences. The exercise sciences are so incredibly new. We started hiring strength coaches, and those strength coaches were just previous powerlifters and Olympic lifters. So now we have the big marquee universities employing strength coaches that are doing bench press, squat, and deadlift, and clean. And of course, those are the teams, those are the programs that are winning football games and winning national championships. And pretty soon the basketball coach says, what are you guys doing in terms of weightlifting? They borrow the same practices. And you can understand how all of this unfolds. You know, by the end of the 70s, early 80s, everyone that strength trains in an athletic context is using this exact approach. Okay, so no one questioned, well, is there a better way to prepare athletes to participate in sport? Is there a different way we should approach our strength training exercise? Now, of course, there was a different way. And the founder of Nautilus Sports Medical Industries, his name is Arthur Jones. He invents the first Nautilus machine. And early on, Nautilus was 100% about bodybuilders and then eventually athletes. Okay, so it started with football. Again, so many of these strength training practices originate with football. And in the case of Nautilus, It was the Miami Dolphins. So Don Shula is the head coach of the Miami Dolphins at the time. He turns to Arthur Jones and says, these new Nautilus machines and the principles that you have around using them, how could this help my football team? And that team buys, Nautilus is launched in 1971. 1972, the Dolphins have a full line of these new Nautilus machines and lift weights exclusively on Nautilus machines. Now, let's be clear. It's not just that they're using Nautilus machines. It's that they are using all these principles that Arthur Jones starts to popularize. He says, well, you don't need to do three sets of 10 in every exercise. You could just do one set, and the number is probably not as important. Just go till you can't go anymore. So he called it muscle failure. Go till you just can't do another repetition. And instead of trying to lift the weight as fast as you can and just letting it drop, like most people do, really control how you lift it, control how you lower it, try to minimize momentum. And instead of just doing these free weight exercises of bench press, squat, and deadlift, first of all, use my Nautilus machines, but let's do exercises for every conceivable muscle group. Let's get as strong as possible so that we can prevent injury across all the major muscle structures and joint function and so forth. And if you know your NFL history, you know that that Miami Dolphin team goes undefeated and wins the Super Bowl. So now we have a heck of a lot of NFL teams that say, wait, there's a different way to do this, right? This didn't become really popular until late 70s and early 80s. And so then you see the NFL kind of expand from a strength training standpoint with one of two mindsets. We're supposed to bench press, squat, deadlift, and do power cleans, or we're supposed to buy Nautilus machines and use Nautilus machines. Now, the reality is, of course, you can use free weights or Nautilus machines or any type of machine and use a really intelligent approach. It's not the tool, it's how you use the tool that matters. But this is kind of the origins of how all of this starts in collegiate sports, professional sports, and of course, this trickles down to high school sports. Where does every high school coach learn about strength training and frankly, everything in their sport? They go to coaching clinics, and who speaks at these coaching clinics? Collegiate coaches, right? So everything that happens in professional sports gets passed down to collegiate sports, which gets passed down to high school sports. So this brings me to our conversation today. You know, I'm a high school athlete, like so many people listening to this podcast, and I got really into the bench press, the squat, the deadlift not as much as the bench press and squat, and then the power clean or the hang clean. And I was a football player and I boxed competitively. And, you know, I think I maybe enjoyed lifting weights to get ready to play football as much as I enjoyed playing football. And I loved playing football. I was captain of the football team. It was a part of my identity. But man, preparing to play football was great. And of course, what did we measure? We measured how much could you bench press? How much could you squat? How much could you deadlift? And all off season, you got excited about those numbers improving. And the high school that I went to was like so many other high schools. You actually had leaderboards around how much could you bench press, squat, and deadlift. You got a t-shirt when you joined the gold bench press club or the red bench press club. And I would come home from school telling my mom, hey, you know, dad, hey, I achieved or I eclipsed this particular mark. Now, this is what we would call demonstrating your strength. It wasn't about developing your strength or your prowess, your physiology. It was about demonstrating. Well, you say, well, didn't you actually develop some strength in the process? We did, but you would sacrifice that for better demonstration. So let's give an example. When you're trying to bench press as much as possible, you would do anything possible just to have the number go up. So if we know that lowering a weight slowly, okay, that's the eccentric muscle contraction, then pushing it up, is better for the development, okay? You would never actually do that when you were trying to demonstrate. You would essentially let the weight drop pretty quickly, and then you'd be able to push it up more powerfully. So we have what's called a Golgi tendon organ in our muscle spindle. We also have sensors that say, hey, the weight is coming down rapidly. My muscle is starting to stretch out rapidly. When that happens, there's a stretch reflex involved where we're able to create a stronger muscle contraction after we lower a weight quickly. So the simplest way to think about this is before you jump, what do? You quickly bend your knees, you drop down quickly and stretch out your quadricep rapidly. And there's a stretch reflex where your quadricep's able to contract more forcefully after you quickly stretch it out. So this is what's happening when you're doing a bench press and you drop the weight rapidly, and then you're able to accelerate that weight up with a little bit more force. It's a wonderful way to demonstrate your strength in that moment. It's not a very safe way to develop strength over time. So that was, of course, one of the things we did. We even went so far as to wear, and I would like to make sure for the record, I never wore one of these, but everybody else was wearing what's called a bench press shirt. So if you went to a powerlifting competition where you did a bench press, you put on like a skin tight shirt that restricted movement, so that as your arms came down and you lowered the bar towards your chest, there was actually an elastic property in the shirt that allowed you to lift more weight. And so you would do anything to be able to actually lift more weight. So your number went up, but did your chest musculature, your deltoids, your triceps actually get any stronger? You didn't care. All you really cared about was, did you move from 265 pounds on the bench press to 275 pounds on the bench press? And this is a pretty cool pursuit. And I think I was so addicted to it. Well, one, I love to strength train. And two, making the strength training quantifiable just mattered. We all get so excited. I mean, I got so excited about progress. I want to know that I get to influence, maybe not control, but I get to influence my progression. And I loved that aspect of strength training. If I put in the work, I could see, you know, my max bench press, squat, and deadlift go up by 5 pounds. And when you met someone, you said, how much do you bench, right? How much do you squat? That's what we talked about. So that was strength training in the 70s, 80s, 90s. It's strength training today, largely in colleges and universities. When you watch an NFL football game, you'll hear a commentator comment on the quarterback who went to Alabama. This is how much they could squat when they were in Alabama. Well, then I find myself, you know, many years later, working for the Minnesota Vikings. And I worked for a very influential strength and conditioning coach for the Minnesota Vikings. He came to the Vikings in the mid-90s with Dennis Green, and he was there for you know, almost a decade and a half, just short of two decades, an incredible run as a strength and conditioning coach of an NFL team across multiple head coaches. And our mindset was very, very different. He was influenced by kind of this Arthur Jones approach. And he had worked for the Washington Redskins as an assistant strength coach. And their head strength coach was a guy named Dan Riley. And Dan Riley became incredibly influential in the NFL and college sports, and then even in high school sports. In Scholastic Coach Magazine, which every coach and athletic director read, Dan Riley for over 20 years had a column, and he wrote about strength training. And he said, hey, we don't have to bench press. We don't have to squat. He actually wrote an article called What's Wrong with the Barbell Squat. It was an unbelievable piece about, we probably shouldn't be having our athletes do a barbell squat. Why are we putting a barbell on someone's upper back and neck and vertically compressing the spinal column? He wrote another article called What's Wrong with the Power Clean? Why an athlete really never should do a power clean. And as a strength coach for the Washington Redskins, and previous to that, he was in college sports. He was at Penn State University with Joe Paterno. They won a national championship. When he gets into the NFL with the Washington Redskins, now the Commanders, they won multiple Super Bowls. And so he had a heck of a platform because they were winning. And he said, we never do a barbell squat. We never do a power clean. Well, the Minnesota Vikings were largely influenced by this because their strength and conditioning coach, an individual named Steve Wetzel, was the assistant strength coach for the Washington Redskins. So I start working for the Minnesota Vikings, and the first thing I learn is we are never going to have someone do a squat, a power clean, a deadlift. And we bench pressed, but we rarely bench pressed. And here was the key. We never tested any of those exercises. And I thought, what? We're not going to do a one repetition max test? Our players aren't going to walk around and talk about how much they bench or how much they squat. And we're not going to justify our position as strength coaches by saying, well, the guy's bench press, his max bench press went up in the offseason by 20 pounds. We're really doing our job. And of course, Steve Wetzel, the strength coach, said, we're not going to do any of that. They're paid to play football. So we're going to try to get them strong and prevent injury. We want them to be injury resilient. And we want them to be healthier adults because they're going to have a life beyond football. So we should also pay attention to that. That's what our focus is going to be. So if they get stronger and they can prevent injury, they're going to become better football players. And we'll just evaluate them on the football field rather than how much can they bench press or how much can they squat. And if their bench press goes up and if their squat goes up and we were to test it, we wouldn't run and go tell Coach Green, hey, their bench press is 20 pounds up. You should probably have this guy start at offensive guard because Coach Green would say, but he's not that good of a football player. We're not going to start him. So that logic, it was an utter shock to me at first. It made a lot of sense. Oh, we're not here to be weightlifters. We're here to be football players. We need to lift weights. We need to strength train intelligently to get ready to play football. But we don't have to measure how much we can bench press or squat or deadlift or clean. Now, we measured, but we measured across every exercise. I mean, we literally measured, like every client does at Discover Strength, how many reps and how much weight did I do on a posterior deltoid exercise? The musculature in the back of the shoulder, a lateral raise exercise, an external rotation exercise, a neck extensor, a neck flexor, a lumbar extensor. We wanted to understand across the entire physiology, were we getting stronger? But the strength training wasn't a competition in of itself. So we didn't focus on demonstration of our strength, our prowess, our physiology. We were always focused on developing or stimulating improvements in strength and prowess and physiology. And that's a tough mindset shift. Now, when you're among professional football players, it was easy enough because we all had the same approach. We weren't testing anybody. We were doing slow and controlled repetitions across the board. So no one said, well, my ego is suffering because if I can't lift the weight as fast, I can't lift as much weight, and my ego is attached to that number. When everybody in your environment, everybody in the culture is kind of doing the same thing, I think it was a little bit easier to adapt to. Now, fast forward to 2024. I think this is the tough part about strength training at Discover Strength. If you're into numbers, if you're into the competitive aspect of something you're passionate about, so I'm going to assume that so many of our listeners have some passion for strength training, and I have a lot of passion for strength training myself. It's tough for me to surrender the idea that no longer is strength training really my sport. It's just what I do to take care of myself. I'm not trying to increase my bench press or my squat or my deadlift. Instead, I'm just trying to get strong across all of my exercises. I'm trying to stimulate all the other saw sharpening benefits of exercise that we literally didn't know about 20 years ago, right? Improved cognitive function and reducing resting blood pressure and improving bone mineral density and stimulating myokine production, all these real significant drivers behind our strength training. I had to give up the idea that I can't walk around talking about how much I bench press and squat and deadlift. And if I think about myself, that's probably one of the reasons that I'm drawn to some long distance running. As I record this now, I just came back from running the Boston Marathon. And it's not that I innately love distance running. I mean, I really enjoy it, but I seek something that's quantifiable. I want to be a part of a competition where I can say, how did I do relative to last time? And of course, I probably don't get that from if I played in a softball league or a pickup basketball league, because there's so many different variables involved. But preparing for a marathon or a half marathon, I can look at, well, what did I do last time versus what did I do this time? I used to get that same sense of satisfaction from a bench press, a squat, and a deadlift. And now that the approach to strength training is a little bit different, I've probably channeled it into to long distance running. Now, you don't have to channel it into anything. You may say, well, I don't need to see a number change over time. I'm fine just engaging in a really effective workout and understand that I'm stimulating all these benefits. Now, I should mention this important caveat. You could compete, or well, let me take a step back. You could care about all these numbers. It's just no one else in your life cares, right? Bench press, it's like a universal number. Hey, how much does that person bench press? Wow, they bench press 100 pounds, 200 pounds, 300 pounds. You could tell someone how much you do on a medics chest press, or you could say, hey, on a medics leg press in the mid position, this is how much weight I use. No one cares. No one even understands what that is, right? Maybe the exercise physiologist you're working with at Discover Strength cares because they understand how the machine is set up and what those numbers actually mean. But the world doesn't care, where the world understands how much, you know, a bench press is or what a marathon time is. So you can still care about those numbers. And let's be clear, I always want to beat the number that I had in my last strength training workout. It just no longer can I get satisfaction out of, just so you know, this is how much I use on a Nautilus Power Plus leg press. The number just is not as meaningful. And having that number go up is not as meaningful. What I'm actually trying to do is stimulate a change to our physiology. That's what we're all trying to do. So you use the analogy of running the Boston Marathon. When I ran the Boston Marathon on Monday, I tried to run the tangents, right? I tried to run the shortest distance possible so that my time was better. But what's a better stimulus? The better stimulus is to try to make, well, the stimulus or the workout harder. So when we strength train, we try to lift it slowly to actually make it harder on us. If we wanted to have that number go up, just lift it faster, right? So they're two different goals and two different objectives. And I think most specifically, it's just two different mindsets of what you're trying to achieve. Now, here's that caveat. Of course, you can compete in a bench press, a squat, or a deadlift. You can enter competitions and do this, and you can still strength train effectively at Discover Strength. In fact, I would argue that's the best way to prepare for those competitions. But you have to add one other component. You would have to add practicing the skill of bench press, squat, or deadlift, for example. So we have some wonderful colleagues around the country that are into the sport of powerlifting. And when they do powerlifting, they strength train exactly like everybody listening does at Discover Strength, but then they practice bench press, squat, or deadlift, so they can refine the skill of those exercises. Interestingly enough, your bench press will go up just by practicing bench pressing with a heavy weight. It's not that your chest got stronger or your triceps got stronger. You just practice the specific skill. So the way I would summarize that is, yeah, you strength train at Discover Strength or somewhere comparable, just using the right principles, right? The right approach, the right intensity, the right speed of movement, eliminating momentum, the right volume, the right frequency, just a couple days a week. But then you practice the skill of lifting a heavy weight, one or two reps with an actual barbell, right? You can get stronger on a pec fly and a chest press and doing dips and negative only dips and push-ups and incline presses. And then you actually refine that skill by putting a barbell in your hands. If you're not going to compete in one of those events, if you're not going to test your bench press, your squat, your deadlift, you don't actually ever need to do those exercises. So you could compete, but you definitely don't need to. I have definitely chosen not to ever compete. I still miss that a little bit. It's one of the things that we give up when we take a more intelligent approach to strength training. When our mindset is no longer demonstrate, it's develop, it's stimulate the changes to our physiology. That is the real focus. So my parting message is, if you were into those numbers, you know, as a high school athlete or college athlete, we have to surrender that and say there's a more intelligent approach. The approach is get strong across every exercise you do, stimulate the physiology rather than just try to improve a number.